everybody, and welcome to this special teleclass, which I am recording with my good friend, Alex the Video Guy.
Hello. Mate, you even did a nice little fade out on that music there. I'm well impressed.
Thank you. I'm learning very slowly, very, very slowly. That was, Alex, I don't know if you know what that was. That was the theme tune to, that was Bruce Forsyth, even, yes, singing the theme tune to The Generation Game.
I'm sure there's a sketch about it on, like, Little Britain or something like that. That's all I could think of when you played it.
I don't know that.
Sure is.
My much a little fun way of starting the telecast. Made me laugh anyway. And because today I want to talk about lead generation. Yeah, I think I've done tons of different subjects lately: book writing, some money mindset, storytelling. And like just generally, you know, where fitness even, you know, we've done all kinds of stuff over the last year.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be a good idea to kind of go back to basics a little bit and talk about lead generation, why people should be doing it, what it is, how to do it, when to do it in your business life. And yeah, just really why it's such a game changer. Mm. If you want to have a sustainable business that, you know, isn't kind of facing famine, and it's been a game changer for me anyway. And what do you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's one of those things that, like, when you're first introduced to it and you don't really know what it is, it's a bit like, what's this? Like, really? Like, I don't really do that. But then once you sort of buy into it and hear about, like, some success stories of people who are using it like amazingly well, and you appreciate that it's like such a long-term thing as well, and it's like you can reap the benefits of it for a long time. Mm. It's like, yeah, you can totally see why more businesses are using it.
Yeah, you're dead right. And I was of the same opinion when I stumbled across, actually, I did think I remember I got on board with it quite quickly, I think, actually, when I did eventually found out about it. But I at the very beginning, I was kind of like, really? Is this what you need to do, you know? And I don't know what stage it comes at in your business journey, but there's a point where you realise that it isn't just about, like, build it and they will come, you know? It's not that. Very rarely happens.
Yeah.
That you just start a business and people come straight away. Now, some people can be full quite quickly, depending upon, like, the geography where they're at, you know, and if they start off their business with a particularly good offer, you know, you can quickly tap into, you can maybe do a bit of parasite marketing to find new customers really quickly and get cracking that way. But more often than not, it takes a little bit of time. And certainly now for, like, dog trainers, dog groomers, and especially dog walkers, dog walkers are everywhere. You know, like, when I started off, a lot of people didn't know what dog walking was or that dog walkers existed. I think occasionally it happens now, but for the most part, people know what they are and what they do. And on top of that, many people are getting more and more people are joining the dog industry, the pet industry, pet service industry, because they are, you know, they want a piece of the action, you know, and so competition's through the roof, which is why this lead generation system works so well. And we'll be explaining why it works so well. So if there's anybody kind of sitting on the fence, which there shouldn't be now if you've been in the PBIC any amount of time, but if you're on the fence thinking, like, is this really worth it? Is this what I want to do? We'll hopefully answer those questions today.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. So why don't we start with what it is?
Mm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Or actually, why don't we start with what it isn't? So, like I said, the traditional kind of way of doing business, mainly for people who haven't been in business before, is to think that you're going to offer your services or your products, whatever it is that you're selling, and people are just going to buy, you know, because the people are there, people are going to buy. And this very rarely happens to be the case. So what we do is we set up our whole business thinking that people are just going to want to buy from us straight away.
Yeah.
So our website is very much, you know, I'm Dom. I'm a dog walker. Do you want a dog walker? And that's the extent of the, you know, and yeah, we might talk about the services a bit. And, you know, if you're really smart, you might even have a couple of testimonials on there. But for the most part, the website is very much, this is me, this is what I do. Would you like to buy? If so, call this number. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what we call selling off the page. And you do get some business that way. For sure. Like I said, especially when you start off, if you start off and there isn't many dog walkers where you are or groomers, then you're going to get clients. And even though there was a couple of dog walkers around when I started off back in 2011, because I was like more expensive, it was slower for me to grow probably, you know, yeah. But I kind of very much went down that route. This is what my first website was like. It was, you know, this is me. This is what I do, buy my shit. And the feelings with this selling off the page is it's relying on people being ready to buy from you almost straight away.
Yeah.
Which, like I say, does happen. You know, you get the odd person, which is why we get inquiries now, you know, which is why so people listen to this might be thinking, well, I don't need to do any lead generation because I'm already getting clients doing the stuff that I'm doing, you know? And I'm saying, yes, if that's working for you, fantastic, you know? Maybe you don't need to do lead generation, but here are some of the reasons why you might want to think about it. And the main reason is because people aren't, they just aren't ready to buy from you straight away. They will buy your service when they are ready to buy. Mm-hmm. And we constantly talk about this know, like, and trust process that people have to go through, so I'm not going to particularly belabor that. But there is a process, you know? There is a process that people go through. There's a process that I go through when I'm buying things. Some things I like straight away. If it's a product that I've bought before or a book that I've bought before from somebody, damn right I'm going to buy it, you know, because I've experienced it. I'm happy with it. I know what I'm going to get kind of thing. Yeah. You know, it's the same. It's probably be most easily demonstrated with like the Kindle, you know, and the books that I'm buying on the Kindle. You know, if I find a book that somebody's written that I've never read before, I'm on it like straight away. You know, you don't even look at what the book description is. You know, it's like, I like this person. I know I'm going to get a couple hours pleasure from this. I'm on board. Mm-hmm. But that's like way down the line, you know, that's what you will be able to do with your own clients if you want to sell them something else, which is something that we all should be doing. You know, we all should be trying to sell our current clients more things. But the people who don't know you, is like in your book, you call the strangers, you know, the strangers who they don't know you from Adam. They're far from that place of being able to trust you, you know, being able to even feeling confident enough confident enough to give you a ring, you know, or to send you an email or to fill in a contact details, you know. They're just not at that place. And to kind of pull another example in before I let you in, Alex, for your experiences. Something that we mentioned in one of the podcasts a good while ago about, I think when we were talking about the tea episode that we did, where we bought the Sookie tea. And why did we buy the, why did Beth invest in the Sookie tea and the Sookie teapot and all the bit? Because we'd experienced it, you know, we'd experienced it on holiday in the lakes. We bought, you know, we were given it and we enjoyed it. And so we came home and she bought one, you know. And when I asked her, like, how long, what would have happened if that hadn't been the case, you know, she said it could have been months, you know. Like, it could have, like, she literally would have just stalked the website for 6 months or more, you know. But and we all do this all the time. But we forget that our clients are the same. Yeah, our prospects and our future clients are exactly the same, you know. Unless there's a compelling reason for them to buy from you now, unless their pain is sufficient for them to want to invest in your services now, it's going to be a long time before they have the confidence to pick up the phone, or they like you enough, or they know and trust you enough to pick up the phone, and which is why lead generation is helps so much with this process.
Yeah. Couldn't have said it better myself, to be honest. No, I think you made a really good point about the sort of people not having the confidence or not feeling like they're informed enough to send you an email or something as well, you know, because that's the problem. And with 95% of business owners who, you know, who aren't doing any lead gen, it's like your only option is to get in touch or to buy the main thing, you know. And like, we've been there, like I've been there as well, totally, like not even that long ago, you know. I sort of had to, when it, you know, like before I was writing the book and stuff, and it's like, okay, what am I actually sort of offering people, and what are the ways that people can come into my world and I can help them? And it was like, well, they can, you know, start a video production project and that's it. And it's like, that's fine, obviously, but like you say,
it's limiting, isn't it?
It's very limiting, yeah, to only have the one thing. And even then, like you say, something like that. If you're a dog walker or a trainer or a groomer or whatever, and you've got like a core service, and it's the main thing that you do, even if it's not like a hugely expensive thing, you know, it should be premium priced, which is obviously another matter entirely. But even if it's not like going to break the bank of your prospect, it's still something that they have to think like long and hard about. Mm-hmm. And it's something, like you say, that sort of takes time for them to weigh up whether it's something that they need and that they want and that they like you and everything. And if you only give them the option of buying the thing and that's it, like, I think it's really important to point out, like, how, like you say, how limiting that is. Mm. Because it might not be the case that, you know, just because someone doesn't buy from you doesn't mean that they don't want to or that they don't like you or that they found something better even. It's just that they probably don't feel well informed enough to make that decision, you know, especially when it comes to something like dog training, grooming, whatever, because it's so personal. And it's like, you know, as we've said in lots of things we've done before, especially like in the previous podcast, you know, to some people, their dogs like their kids, right? The equivalent of kids, if not more so. So once you start to like really sort of peel the layers back and start to think about this, it becomes alarmingly obvious how important this is, you know, to offer something other than just the thing.
Yes, indeed. I'm so glad you touched on that at the end, because that's the point I was going to make next, was that. Now, I was thinking about, to go back to like the Kindle example, or I'm trying to think of something else that I might buy, even like a magazine or a, you know, or a pair of trainers or something like that. Like, certainly with the Kindle, I'd be like, if I'm on my Kindle and I've come across a new author, and even if the book might just be like £4, might be £3.99, I'll watch that for like a while. Yeah. And I'll think, do I really want that? You know, like, is it really going to add any more? And I read a lot of books. I read like 2, 3, 4 books a week. So it's not like I'm not going to read it probably, but I'm still on the fence very much. And that's something as poxy as a £4 ebook. Do you know what I mean? We're talking about people's pride and joy here. You know, so if you're putting, you know, and we could all think of an example, couldn't we? And everyone listening to this could think of an example of something where, you know, if they just grew a tiny pair of balls, they would just buy it straight away. But they don't, because they're not ready to buy yet, you know? Well, how does that going to feel about when we're talking about something as precious as a dog, you know? It's absolutely huge, you know? And like, to sort of paraphrase like Sean D'Souza, well, he would say that with any buying decision, you know, but that certainly with the dog, there are these bags that you need to remove, you know, these bags of doubt that you need to remove from people's minds, and this trust you need to build up. And it's much bigger when you're dealing with something like a dog or a child or a horse or anything that's like personal, that people love, you know, love in a way that they don't love a book or a toilet brush or a car even. Do you know what I mean? It's it's a different scale. So you really need to, well, I think, like I say, once you kind of grok that, and the other thing I wanted to mention as well, is to recap, is it's all lead generation is all built around the premise that people buy when they're ready to buy. You know, you have to understand that first. You have to accept that as fact. You know, now there are lots of things that are going to contribute to that decision for them. Lots of things that are going to tip them over the edge and make them more comfortable to buy. But you have to get that, you know. Mm-hmm. You can't just live with your blinkers on and say, well, they'll buy eventually, or, you know, as long as I keep doing a better job, as long as I do a good job, they'll buy. You know?
That's a massive one, yeah.
It's huge. It's really huge. And in a way, it's the biggest stumbling block, you know, because once you crack that and you grok that, then it's okay. It's about, right, what we're going to do then. You know, what kind of lead gen are we going to do? How much do we want to spend? How much time are we going to invest in this? How far do we want to tech it? How many emails do we want to write? Do you know what I mean? All that kind of thing. It's, you know, they're just the details. It's like the big picture stuff is this, and that's a big thing. So we'll run through a couple of examples then of how lead generation can be more effective than just doing like a selling off the page strategy, sales strategy. Okay, so like, for example, let's say you could have a painter and decorator, Okay, a painting decorator who will have an advert, either a Facebook advert or a leaflet or a Yellow Pages advert that says, you know, painter and decorator for hire, no job too small, call this number, you know, if you want us, best rates in town or something like that. Well, not even, let's not even say that. Let's not even say that it's going to be a price shop, a price, advertised on price. But that's the general thing, isn't it? You know, that's the general advert. Dog walkers do the same. Groomers do the same. Hairdressers, we all, I mean, lots of people, for most of them, these are the kind of adverts that you see, you know? It's like, we do this. This is us. We do this. Would you like to buy?
Yeah.
Now, if a painter and decorator was to do something which says, you know, painter and decorator for hire, no job too small, visit this website to get your free report to discover the three things you need to check before you decorate a room. Something like, you know, the three dangerous... three things you need to find, do you know what I mean? That kind of thing. You know, some kind of...
Mm.
I'm not a painter and decorator. Hence, I've got this big mark on my head.
Got this yes, big I
mark
really?
In the middle of my face at the moment from the little bit of DIY that I did on the weekend. So I'm not... that was probably the wrong example.
Sums up your efforts, yeah.
But you know what I'm saying, yeah? To somebody who's wanting a painter and decorator, who ain't quite ready to buy yet, well, they will be interested enough to find out a bit of information, you know, yes. to get that free report. And they do the same thing with dog grooming, yeah? So you could say, you know, discover the three things that you need to ask a groomer to ensure that your pet has a safe, fear-free haircut,
yeah.
you know? Now, somebody who's concerned about their, who thinks they've got a nervous dog or who does have a nervous dog, that's going to sing to them, you know? That is going to be the thing that makes them, you know, get in touch, you know, or they're certainly they're gonna want that information, you know. Same with dog walkers, and I'm not gonna go on, but this is what we do, you know. This is what we do. We find out what a problem is of our prospect. We create some kind of tip sheet or information sheet that can help them to make a buying decision, and then we offer it to them, and we offer it to them in exchange for their contact details.
Yeah, so that's this a lead magnet, right? Yeah.
That would be like a lead magnet, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And no, you know, the big difference is that you, with the first advert, the selling off the page advert that says, you know, buy, you know, hire this groomer, hire this painter and decorator, hire this hairdresser, that only attracts people who need a groomer today, the people who are reading it now, you know? The other one that offers them something in return, that means that you get their contact details, which means that you also get the people who are wanted now. So you get all the people from the first ad as well, but you also get everybody who's just thinking about it,
yeah.
you know, who might need a groomer, might need a hairdresser, might need a painter and decorator 6 months, 12 months, 2 weeks down the line, you know. And there are lots of reasons why they don't need a groomer right now. You know, they might not have a dog yet. Their dog might, you know, they might already have a groomer, but they might want to change in the future. You know, there are millions, you know, many as you can think of, reasons why people don't want to buy stuff right now. Don't want to buy your service right now. But if they found out a bit of information, then this is what it is, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Again, like, you know, you put it spot on. Obviously, I guess we'll talk a bit more in detail about it and stuff. But there's loads of things you could do, like as far as a lead magnet goes, depending on, you know, whether you're a trainer or a groomer or whatever. There's loads of different things you do, and really you're kind of only limited by your creativity, really, aren't you?
Absolutely. You know, the free report, the easiest thing to give away is information.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, but you could, you know, we get free trials all the time, don't we? You know, free trial for this, free trial for that. You know, magazine subscriptions, they do free trials.
Yeah. Appointments, like a free call or something.
Yeah,
or...
yeah, yeah. But yeah, so like, but like for us, definitely, like a dog trainer, you could give away some time if you wanted to, you know, like a 15-minute Skype call or something like that. But the absolute easy thing to give away at first is information. Now, lots of ways you can package that information up. It can be given as a PDF, a free report. Could be an audio training. Could be a video series. Could be a little training series. We'll talk about that in a moment, but it could be like a free event. You know, that could be something that you might do.
Yeah.
Ultimately, these are... the reason my information is so a good thing to give away in the form of a PDF or an MP3 or a video is obviously you can give it away multiple times, you know, hundreds of thousands of times, and it doesn't necessarily cost you any more money, you know. Whereas if you're giving away even a physical report, you know, an actual paper report or a free trial or something like that, these, you know, over time, these are going to add up. It's going to be much more expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not to say that you shouldn't give those things away as well, but you might want to do that a little bit further down the line, you know, once the prospects kind of qualify themselves and they made it known to you that, yeah, they're interested. They just need a bit more, you know, a little bit more hand-holding to help them to make the decision, mm-hmm. you know. So information is the thing, like, to give away.
Yeah.
For mm-hmm. sure. For everybody. And everybody can do this. You know, groomers, trainers, walkers. It's as simple as asking your prospects and your clients what their problems are, what their biggest fears and frustrations are, then producing some kind of report, audio training, video series that helps them to fix that.
Yeah, you know? Sure. And I guess it's probably worth saying as well, like, at this stage, you want to give away stuff that's really useful and valuable, but you don't want to kind of give away the farm, do you? You don't want to release all your best kept secrets and your signature ways of fixing these problems, because ultimately, obviously, that's further down the line. You want people to pay for your service to
yeah,
get that.
Yeah, you do, yeah. But you can't, yeah, you're right. But you can, I mean, you can give away quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
You can, you know, because, but I think you stressed it really. The point is it's value, you know, you want to be giving away stuff that is valuable to them. The information, lots of ways you can package that information up, not just actual different ways to package it up, but the way you present that information as well, you know. If you're smart about it, you can package it up and present it in a way that not only helps them, but also demonstrates your expertise as well, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the other kind of side of it.
Yes.
Is that you're not just saying, oh well, these are the things you need to think about before you choose a groomer. You're saying these are the things you need to think about before you choose a groomer, and wrap that up in, you know, why you are the person to listen to about this. Maybe chuck a couple of testimonials in there too from your clients, you know, and make it all kind of meld together. And then it's like it does the job for you, you know. It takes people from thinking, oh, well, I didn't know that information, to, well, now I know it. I know I need to fix this. And who am I going to go to for help? Well, why don't I go to the person who gave me the information, you know?
Exactly, yeah. You're going to be the first person they think of, aren't
they? Yeah, and this is, like, I suppose I wasn't going to talk about this now, but this is another reason to do lead generation, because hardly anybody else is going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I can almost guarantee if you produce some kind of lead magnet and some kind of follow-up series as well. We'll talk about follow-up in a minute, why that's crucial. But if you do this, you're going to be the only person in your town. I would say, you know, or there might be one other one if you're lucky.
Yeah,
we'll be prepared to do this. So you know, it's like then you're operating in the, you know, you're marketing in the dark. Then, you know, your competition can't see what you're doing. They know you're giving something away, but they don't know why you're giving it away.
Yeah.
And you know, you're able to have this personal conversation then with the prospect, either through email or direct mail, and you know.
Yeah, yeah. Because they'll be sort of not wasting their time, obviously, but they'll be spending all their time thinking, well, if I just, like you said before, if I just get better at the thing and I just become a better groomer or trainer or walker, then that's what's going to grow my business, isn't it?
Hmm.
But it's really not. It's ultimately not, is it? I remember I'm part of like a videographer's group on Facebook, and there's all kinds of discussions going in there. And one person, like, straight up asked, like, do you think it's, when it comes to, like, wedding videographers, do you think it's those who are the best, like, the best filmmakers who get paid the most? Or is it those who kind of market themselves better? And there was all kinds of, like, heated debate going on. But from an outsider's perspective, I looked at it, knowing what I know now, and thought, well, obviously, it's those who market themselves better. you know, being good at the thing is, like, you know, it's a prerequisite. Obviously, it's important. But you know, if all you do is kind of work at getting better, it's not really going to draw you any closer to being seen as valuable in the eyes of all these prospects, is it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is why lead gen's so important.
Yeah, and so there's we should probably talk now about the exchange. You know, so
yeah.
The exchange is important because, like, positioning yourself as an expert, offering helpful information, all that kind of thing is, well, it's part of lead generation, and everybody should be doing it. But why do we do that? Well, we give something away to get the contact details. This is a side of it that I think some people miss, you know? And it was touched upon in, like, the Ask You Answer. That was a really good book. But I'll be honest, I didn't feel like I learned anything particularly new in that, partly because we were doing a lot of it anyway. Do you know what I mean? We were doing, a lot of this kind of making it easy for people to make their decisions and stuff, you know? It was very well presented. Good book, man. Definitely worth reading. He does talk about, lead generation and getting the contact details and stuff as well. But that's a crucial part of it, is so that we can get the follow-up, see? Having someone's email address is a valuable thing to have. It's worth giving them some good information to get this email address. Having someone's physical address is an even more valuable thing to have, you know? Why? Because it enables you to have some communication with them then. Yeah, and what we really want to try and find is, and you mentioned this earlier, Alex, we should touch upon this about finding a mode of communication that suits you. You know, so you're not doing stuff that you hate doing.
Yeah.
But this we're trying to develop a line of communication that enables us to talk to the prospect without any interruptions. You know, and this is why it's. Facebook is so difficult to market on. I mean, yeah, we both market on Facebook for sure. And we find a new and clever ways, aren't we, to do user alignment content and stuff like that, with the help of other people. But it's so noisy, you know. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all these things, it's so noisy and it's so difficult to have a conversation. There's so many distractions going on. It's not like an environment that's conducive to... You know, it's not very personal. You know what I mean? You want it. So, and having an email address, I stumbled across email marketing like 3 or 4 years ago, and got like straight into it. And funnily enough, because I got bang into the emails, I don't think I've ever shared this, Alex, but my first mentor, Veronica, she was obviously big into having an email sequence, you know, doing a lead magnet, having an email sequence, and then, following up and selling people like products and stuff that they want. But she wasn't particularly as on board with the daily emails and stuff, you know? So that took her by surprise when I started to do that. But that was what I'd learned from Ben Settle and John and stuff, you know? So that was... But email... I've heard it said before, and I do agree with it, like, the rest of the internet is like a bit of a sideshow, really, you know? The email is where the selling's done. And I read this time and time again from people who, like... You know, Mike Samuels, who we follow, Sook, who we follow, obviously John, Vicky, Dan Meredith, I've heard Seth Gordon. You know what I mean? This is where the bulk of these people's selling is done, is with email or events and stuff like that. You know, not exclusively email, but these people sell way more stuff through email than they do just from, appearing on Facebook saying, buy my shit.
Yeah.
And so that's this like crucial exchange that we want to have, which then leads us on to, obviously, if you're going to get people's email addresses, it's not good getting the email address and then not following up, you know? So this is why lead generation is such a commitment, because you're going to have to do the research to find out what the problems people have. You're going to have to distill that information into some kind of free report, free audio training, free video training. Again, it's not to be too difficult, but you are going to have to do that. You're going to have to, we'll talk about the tech in a minute, you know, you're going to have to sort up some kind of, you're going to have a few tech issues to link up your landing page with your information delivering, whatever it is, PDF, with your email address. And you're going to have to write some emails, you know, you're going to have to either write a sequence or you're going to have to start writing bi-weekly or weekly emails or stuff straight away. So it is a commitment, you know, but again, it leads us back to what we said before. If you're on board with the fact that people have to know, like, and trust you, you'd be an idiot not to do this. And if you're in this group, you're going to be doing something with your marketing. You're going to be wanting to grow your business. You know, you're going to be, you might, surely to God, you're going to want to do something. You would want to do the most beneficial thing, wouldn't you? You know, you're either going to spend your time fucking around on Facebook and Instagram, or you can spend 40 minutes on a morning writing an email. You know, well, I know which one I'd rather do. I know which one I do as well, you know, and I don't do it because I like the sound of my own voice in the emails. I do it because I sell more shit that way.
Yeah, you're dead right. And, you know, just to sort of reiterate, like I've said before, you were the you're the guy who got me onto emails, but like at the start, it's really hard. And I was really reluctant, if I'm honest, to get going with it.
I know you were.
Yeah, no secret, really. Because, you know, it's one thing to do something like create a lead magnet or a free report or something and think like, yeah, I've created some kind of document or asset that is going to be seen as valuable, and that's great. But then, like you just said, when it comes to the emails after that, the follow-up, that's more of a long-term thing. In the sense that it's something that you should be doing consistently and like frequently, but also that like it takes time to get good at it, basically. Mm. And it takes time, yeah, to sort of find your own voice.
Yeah.
And I know when I started, I kind of thought, because I had my lead magnet and I had like the core service, as it were, like the video production, but I didn't really have much else. And so I didn't really know what I was, like why I was following up with them. Mm. I didn't really know like what to offer or even like what to say and stuff. Mm. But then the more sort of time went on and I sort of realized that you can keep it quite simple and you can tell stories and you can draw little metaphors and, you know, put little testimonial things in there and stuff. Because really, like, you are selling your stuff. You are promoting yourself and you're saying, I've got this stuff to offer. Here's, you know, how you come through with it. But at the same time, it's like, it's on such a low level and such like a subtle level that you can and should, you know, keep it, like you say, keep it really personal. And if, you know, one day you just sort of tell a little story that draws a nice comparison between whatever it is you do and, you know, the thing that's happened in the news that day or whatever. And the only sort of tie to your business is like, oh, you know, and that's similar to this, what we do. You know, if that's all that's in the email, that's fine. Like, that's enough, isn't it? And you totally. You get better with that over time. Anyway.
Yeah, of course you do. Yeah, yeah. So what was there, just quickly, what was the, but apart from me, was it just me badgering? What was there a thing, what made you think, get back into it again?
I think I was on a lot of people's, well, not a lot of people's, but a select few people's lists who I was like really bought into, you know? Yeah. Like one of them for me is a guy called Den Lenny, who's like, he has the Filmmakers Business Academy. So he's like, obviously, I'm like the fucking perfect avatar
yeah,
for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And as I went through and as I realised that I was reading all his emails and I've bought like a few of his products and stuff as well, like a few of his like lower level products. Hmm. And then it just sort of clicked. I was like, well, if I'm doing that, you know, with him and his stuff, then why wouldn't some of my prospects like do the same with me, you know? Yeah. So I thought, yeah, well, if he's doing it, then if the same can be done for me, definitely.
Absolutely. And I would reiterate that for all of my guys listening to this, you know, chances are you came to me through lead generation. You know,
oh, yeah.
You came to me through the 33 ideas or through the book or through an event, you know, Grow Your Pet Business Fast seminar. They were all lead generation events or products that I'd produced to bring people into the business, you know, and it's one of the reasons why the book's such a good idea. Yeah, we've talked about books quite a bit, but the book, if you structure the book right, which all my sort of diamond peeps are starting to really get a handle of this now, because part of the LOMS project that we're doing, you know, the book is, if you structure the book right, you've got it made, you know. The book does a lot of the heavy lifting for you, you know. Yeah. So you market the book markets the business. And to take it back a bit further as well, Dan Kennedy talks about this a lot. And when you do something like lead generation, where you offer something helpful, of value to people, be it an email series, a video training, a book, an event, something like that. What you do, that changes the dynamic then. That changes the dynamic of the relationship. And it takes it from people feel like they're being sold to people feel like they discovered you.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's huge. That is huge, you know. If people can feel like they've discovered you by themselves or discovered you through some useful stuff that you were putting out there, it's huge, you know. It's like they, once they've discovered you and they like what you've got to say and they're on board with it, then they're like, well, give me more. What more can I have? You know, they'll be looking for your podcast. They'll be looking for your blogs. You know, they'll be buying your books. Then they'll get into that a bit more. Then they'll be, you know, if you have a funnel in place and you're following up regularly, offering them shit, they're gonna want to buy your stuff too, you know.
Yeah.
So it's
and we all know. We all have our own examples of that happening to us, don't we? Like we've all got our people who we're like mega fans of.
Totally.
Like buy everything that they put out, and they will like love the content and stuff.
Yeah.
And
sometimes wish you had more money, don't you? So you can buy even more of the stuff.
Basically, yeah, yeah. So you just have to think, like, it's that thing again of like it's really hard to think of this when it comes to your own business because like you're so close to it, and especially if you are just kind of working on your own, it's hard to think like, well, like, you know, I think a lot of people, like present company included, will have like the sort of confidence issue thing and think like, well, you know, really, like, will people feel that way when they like discover me? But if you've done that with someone else, if you're like a raving fan of someone on YouTube or whatever, or someone that you come across someone's advert on Facebook or whatever it is, and then you've signed up, you've just done exactly the same thing. You've gone through that process. Like, who's to say it can't happen for you as well? Like, it can and it will, basically.
Of course it will. Yeah. And I think another point I'll make is before we move on, is that getting into this lead generation thing, in a way that you kind of touched on it before when you said that you did the emails, but you were kind of thinking, oh, I don't really have anything to offer apart from this core service. Well, it forces you to think of new things to offer. You know, so it's like, okay, I'm off the core service. What else can I offer them? You know, so now you've got your book coming out. You know, you're available to go and do shoots for people, all this kind of thing. We'll have other stuff coming down the line, won't we? You know, there'll be events and all this kind of thing. So it's like, it kind of forces you as well. You don't have to do lead generation for that reason, but to me, it forces you to think about the structure of your business and the order of the, you know, what people are going to, your consumers are going to consume your products and, you know, and how they're going to ascend and all this kind of thing, you know, like, which again is, blows people's minds a little bit at first because you just think of yourself as selling the one thing and being very good at that, but actually there are a lot more things that you should be selling. And, you know, we talked about it in the Diamond call, didn't we, before, about, you know, finding the business within the business and stuff. This is how these things come about, you know, by really thinking about your business. And
Yeah. Like you say, you take a much deeper look and you sort of... you delve much deeper rather than just thinking, well, you know, in the traditional, like, I'll make an advert sense, like, if I build it, they will come. You're more, like, because doing that assumes that sort of everything else is, like, all things being equal, that people will just decide, yes, great, I'm going to sign up straight away. And you, in doing that, you're not even thinking about, like, the customer journey, like, at all. Whereas with this, you're taking a really, like, close look and thinking... Okay, where's this person going to go? What are they going? How are they going to perceive me? By this point, and by looking at the whole journey, you just set yourself up so much better. Don't you?
I guess you're right. If you sort of imagine, I'm kind of drawing a picture here of like an upside down triangle, and then like another upside down triangle, and then another triangle like dead underneath it.
Like hourglassy.
Like an hourglass kind of shape. Yeah, exactly. So you've got this like big. Like a lot of work to do at the start to get people into this like funnel, you know, and then at the bottom, it's like you need to do a lot of work to create more products and services and stuff for them, you know. So even something as basic as you thinking, well, I don't have any ascension in my business, I don't have a higher priced product. Well, guess what? Fucking come up with one then. Do you know what I mean? Because like that's the next step, you know. If you want to make more money, then you know you're either gonna have to do more of the thing what you're doing now, or you can sell a higher price version of what you do, or a complete, you know what I mean, an ancillary service or something like that, you know? So it's like, it really does get you on the path. And I guess I've done it twice with the dog training, started off building a list, sold them a product, wrote a book, sold them a book, sold them an Encircle, did the same thing with this business, the coaching business, you know, building a list, did some events, I suppose, as well, sold a product, the Grow Your Pet Business Fast Profit Kickstarter, then we did it in a slightly different order, actually. Sold the boot camp, sold the Inner Circle, the book came out, you know. So that was, by then I knew the system worked, so it didn't really matter. I could be a bit more free and easy with the things that I was offering, you know. But you know, it works with everything, works with absolutely everything that you've got to offer. But as you just touched on before, Alex, is a long-term strategy. Mm. You know, this is like, I guess the main reason people won't do this is because they think they're too busy, or they think they're, you know, they haven't got time to do it and stuff. You know, ultimately, all the long-term decisions that we make are difficult, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
So you should do something, you know, as far as the follow-up's concerned, to go back to what we were talking about before, the whole lead generation process, the follow-up being crucial. We know that, you know, 80% of buying decisions are made on the 5th to 12th follow-up.
Mm.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, hardly anybody follows up once or twice.
Exactly.
You know, so if you were to create this information PDF or whatever it is and plug it up with your website, get a landing page done and write a dozen emails, well, you're going to be streets ahead of everybody else, you know? And I mean, that's like, you're talking maybe anybody could do that in like 2 months, I would say, easily, and have time to spare.
Yeah.
You know? And then after that, you could just send a weekly or a daily email or a bi-weekly one or whatever. I wouldn't suggest going any less than weekly. But then that's it, you know? You're like, you're up and running. And it's as easy as that. This, like, following up, writing emails, producing newsletters, again, this positions you as an expert in a similar way to a book, you know, because if you're the guy or the gal who's turning up daily or weekly with useful, entertaining information, you know, you just naturally position yourself as an expert, you know.
Yeah.
This is one reason why I'm completely non-threatened, I should say, and pretty blasé about the sort of competition that I've got in the pet business industry, you know, is because, whereas I'm churning out newsletters, daily emails and stuff, they're churning out memes. They're churning out not even funny ones. They're churning out motivational memes and, you know, putting pointless shit in the Facebook groups 3 times a day. You know what I mean? Yeah. As if, like, that's the formula for success, you know? And I mean, it, don't get me wrong, it does grow it, but you grow it with people who want to read motivational memes 3 times a day, you know what I mean? So yeah, the follow-up aspect is crucial, you know, and you should pick something, some way of following up that you're comfortable with, you know? But
yeah.
I mean, I think anybody can learn how to write a daily email or learn how to write an email. Mm-hmm. It's really not that difficult. And there are enough resources in the inner circle to help people there as well, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just sort of playing off your strengths, isn't it? But
yeah.
But at the same time, thinking, you know, even if you don't regard yourself as particularly good at writing or particularly good at being in front of the camera or whatever, you know, be open-minded and think that, you know, you will get better the more.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, you could send a daily video.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could record a video and stick it in an email and send them a daily video. Send them a daily audio, you know. You know, just because not many people are doing that now doesn't mean to say it's not going to work for you, you know, and you're far better off sending something a little bit unconventional that suits, you know, that you're happy doing than not doing something that you don't want to do, you know, and like ultimately failing with the lead generation process.
Yeah.
The tech side of things sometimes puts people off, can be a bit intimidating. I'm probably not the best person to speak to as regards the technical aspect of it because I'm not very tech savvy. And I just get my landing pages and stuff made up for me, you know, by my tech guys. It doesn't cost a particularly huge amount of money. It does cost some money, but it doesn't cost a lot. I mean, MailChimp's free. Aweber costs, what does that cost? 20 quid a month, Alex?
Yeah, about $20 a month.
Yeah, $20 a month. I mean, they're not, you know, you could, if you wanted to get a lead page, you know, a landing page done quickly, you could use something like Lead Pages. I used them in the past.
Yeah.
I can't. Are they about a fiver a week? Are they about 20 quid a month or something like
Maybe
that?
Maybe something like
that.
Yeah. I know quite a few people who use them still.
Yeah, that will get you up and running. There's a number of other ones like similar, and they kind of they've got like templates, haven't they? You know that they split test and everything. So you know, it's less complicated than what you think. You know, especially if it might. Don't get me wrong. If you're brand new to business, you're probably better off getting some, like, a really, like, good leaflet done and getting out there in the local pet shops, the local, you know, dog walking sites and teaming up with local groomers and stuff or whatever it is and getting face-to-face with people, you know. If you haven't got a lot of money, get out there and use your shoe leather and your, you know, your diesel and your van and start meeting people that way. Once you get a bit of money going and for, like, more established businesses, this shouldn't be a huge expense, you know, even if it's, like, 40 quid a month.
Yeah.
You know, I know people who are blowing like 40 quid, easily blowing 40 quid to 100 quid a month on Google AdWords, and they don't know what's, you know, they think that's where they're getting their business from, but they don't know because there's no way of tracking this kind of thing. You know, there's no way of tracking the actual follow-up, you know, apart from asking people, obviously, as well.
Mm-hmm. I'd say the fact, just quickly as well, the fact that it costs a little bit is really good for making you accountable because that's what pushed me over. Like, so when I first started, I thought, oh, I'll use MailChimp because it's free. Nothing wrong with MailChimp.
No,
brilliant. But when I moved over to Aweber because it was slightly more powerful and it was 20 quid a month, I wrote more emails. Exactly. So, like, what does that say?
Yeah, for sure, yeah, you know. And I mean, I'm using Fusionsoft now. I'm paying, like, 180 quid a month. So you imagine how many fucking emails I'm sending.
Exactly, yeah. That's why he's daily, people.
Yeah, it's true, though, yeah. But then, I mean, there's a lot of other kind of functions and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's a complete, like, customer system. But, yeah. You know, very good point, Alex, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why I chose Aweber at the start as well. But either way, let's not get bogged down with to use. You know, just get using it, you know, and so it's, you know, getting set up tech wise shouldn't be that difficult, shouldn't be that expensive. And most people could afford it, like, almost straight away.
I mean, basically, if we like distill it down, it's like the most basic form. So your lead magnet, whatever it is, has to be somewhere, doesn't it? So you know, mm-hmm. whether you like, I'm imagining most people will get people to, they'll get their prospects to head over to a page on their website, download the lead magnet, which could be on like Dropbox or something, yeah. Or Google Drive.
I think even MailChimp might allow you to deliver it, or Aweber may, might. That's true. Possibly, but I don't know.
Yeah,
but like you say, even your website. That's right.
It depends on what it is, for sure. Yeah, if it's a report or something, it's not very big. Yeah, absolutely. So they need to download that. And then you just, you know, within the email software, whatever it is, Aweber, MailChimp, Infusionsoft, you just need to make sure that people get sent the link to download the thing, you know, which is from Drive or whatever. And that's basically it, isn't it? Because mm-hmm. then once they're on your list, you just use the email program.
Yeah.
You sign in for that and everything else is done sort of from there. There's no more techie stuff to do, really.
There really isn't, no. I mean, you know, you could, like you say, you could take it as complicated as you want to.
Yeah.
You know, and the further down the line you get, you can create separate lists for separate, you know, avenues of your business. You can tag people so that you know, you can find out what their interests are so you can start sending them more relevant stuff. But that's it as far as it goes, you know. You're talking about, like, a little bit of pain, a little bit of expense, a little bit of learning new skills, which everybody can fucking do, by the way. You know, we all learn to walk, talk, how to train a dog, draw, write, all these things we learn how to do. We can learn how to upload an email to fucking MailChimp or Aweber. It's really not that difficult. And then, like you say, you just get up in the morning, you write email, or do before you go to bed even. Write email in Word or in Pages or something, you know, copy and paste it into the thing and press send. And then, you know, yeah.
That is done.
Yeah, that is a follow-up, you know.
And it feels really good when you get ahead of the game, doesn't it? When you've got a few scheduled. When you've got, like, the next week's ready, you're like, you can just like, oh, I'll sit back now. But it feels like really good.
No, it really does. And as it happens, I'm off to Wednesday. Well, it's a Monday when we're recording this, and I've written Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays.
It's a bit feeling really smug.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you know, with emails as well. I don't really want to turn this into the email show, but we're on it. But like, you can recycle emails as well all the time, you know. Once you've got like a big bank of them, you can just pull some out of the past. It doesn't matter if people have read it before, or, you know, you can change a couple of things. It's really easy, you know.
I think that's another block for people as well. It was for me again. It's like, do I have enough to talk about? But like we said on a recent podcast, you know, really you only need to have like a few fundamental things you talk about all the time that are like really intrinsic to you and your business and your values and stuff. And then you just like recycle it, don't you? And you just talk about it in different ways and use different analogies, and you've got enough content to last a friggin' lifetime, basically.
Exactly. And you talk about all kinds of stuff, you know, TV programs, what you did this morning, what you did yesterday, you know, something stupid that happened to you, newspaper articles, anything at all, you know, I mean, stories from clients, it just goes on and on and on. Eventually, you haven't got enough time in the day to write all the emails for the ideas that you've got. It's true, isn't it?
It
takes a little while to get there, but once you do, it's a doddle. But moving on from emails a little bit then. I mentioned it before, but having someone's physical address is a very powerful thing to have. Direct mail can obviously get more expensive, way more expensive than sending emails. You know, my current bill for my direct mail month is, you know, running to like a few hundred pounds a month because I'm sending out 300-400 pieces of my free newsletter, you know. Now, I send offers with the newsletter as well, which offsets the cost, and I get people joining the inner circle and stuff like that. But you could send postcards, you know, but you really want to qualify people a bit more for before you start sending them direct mail.
Yeah.
You know, they either want to be clients or really like solid prospects. But events too, we talked about events in a recent ledger that I produced, and you know, doing some kind of event is a brilliant way to do some lead generation. This could be like a local, you know, like a local dog show where you've got a stand or something, or you know, you could do something, you could team up with a local groomer or a local doggy cafe or a local doggy designer wear shop, or you could put on your own event, you could put on a canine dog training clinic, you could do some kind of demonstration. I mean, you could do a canine coffee morning. There are like a billion and one ways that you can use events as lead generation devices. And that is what I would do as well, you know? Just as the same as with an advert, don't just use it as an opportunity to sell your services. Use it as an opportunity to give people something in exchange for their email address.
Yeah.
I've made this mistake too in the past, Alex. I've done some tours, some of my seminars on the tour where I haven't given anything away. And I've come away from it thinking, fuck, that was stupid. Do you know what I mean? And got something in place where it's like, right, please everybody take this postcard. You know, give me a name and address and I'll send you something in the post, or I'll email you something.
Yeah.
And so that's what it's for all the time. And if you don't have much money to spend on adverts and leaflets and stuff, then doing some kind of event is a good way to do it. You know, I mean, Dan Kennedy built his very first £100,000 business just through like a speaking and events.
Right.
He gave out leaflets and postcards to drive people to a free event where he got them in a room, did a presentation, and then sold them on a paid event.
Mm.
So you know, if it works for Dan, then it can work for you too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we've covered like your website. Yeah. So let's go back to the website a second as well then. So there are lots of ways you can, if we go down the kind of they ask you answer method, you want to be providing a lot of useful information on your website, don't you? You know, so it's like, what information can I give to people to make it easier for them to buy from me or not to buy from me if they're not the ideal client? You know, they might be better off suited with going to a daycare or getting a personal private one-to-one trainer rather than coming to your classes, you know? Either way, you're gonna get a lot of credit from them by helping them make that decision, you know? So when you're putting that stuff on your website as well, I would still have some kind of like call to action or something on there for them to get further information from you, you know? And I think the holy grail all the time should be to get this contact details. That's what we're after all the time, yeah? And which, as we've said, you know, means that you have to follow up with them and stuff. But the less emphasis you place on getting the contact details, the more money you're leaving on the table, because people are busy. They might really enjoy the stuff that you've shown them on the website. They might find it incredibly useful, but then like the cat vomits or the dog, you know, bites a baby or whatever, something bad happened, the doorbell goes and they've gone from your website. And they might just forget all about you. They probably will, you know. And the next time they think about it, they're just going to Google. And if you're not there, then, you know, you're going to lose the business, you know. So contact details all the time.
Mm-hmm. Happens to us all the time, doesn't it? And now, because we're a bit more sort of tuned on to this, you even had a story at your last bootcamp about when you'd sort of signed up to something and then didn't receive any follow-up. And it was like, here's a glowing example of how not to do it. Because if they had, you might have been much closer to making some kind of purchase.
You did, right, yeah. That was the Pauline Quirk Theatre School or something who were opened up in Sunderland. Who I didn't want to join, but I thought Toby might be interested. Actually, I didn't, Alex. That's a lie. I'd purely signed up for it just to see what they were going to send out. I was playing prospect.
Yes.
But you're dead right. They sent me this lovely, flashy brochure, which was, you know, wonderful. I had testimonials in, all of it. Obviously spent a lot of money on it. And then I think I might have received an email.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
Yeah. It's just, and once you understand this process, when stuff like that happens, you start to think like bloody hell, like this is so like missed the mark here, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
And just left money on the table, basically.
Yeah.
From not doing something as simple and as cheap as something like email marketing, that could be the thing that sort of gets someone over the line.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, email marketing is offline, but, you know, doing email or doing offline marketing, like even Google do offline marketing, you know, like you get these postcards in the post, don't you, for 50 quid's worth of Google AdWords you can have or something, you know. Well, yeah. Why are they sending direct mail? Because they know that it works.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, yeah, if Google are doing it, then yeah.
You know, so this is, yeah, you're right. The reasons for doing this are vast and many. I hope this has been useful for people to give them a bit of an overview and a recap and a kick up the arse to get cracking with the lead generation, because apart from the fact that it'll grow your business and it'll make it easier for people to buy from you, I think, as we kind of touched upon, we'll probably do it again sometime, Alex, it forces you to kind of think about more things that you're going to have to offer people, and forces you to think about your business structure, the products and services that you offer, which will hopefully lead to a better and bigger business.
Yeah, well, yeah, I was going to say, it ultimately kind of makes you more of a savvy business owner, as opposed to like a, I don't know, a dog's body. It's just kind of doing the job, doesn't it? Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, thanks for your time, Alex.
Thank you, Dom. Really enjoyed that.
No problem. And we'll see you all again next time.